This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, but Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length.
Call 1353 53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Hoping you're having a good start to your Monday morning. Welcome, everybody, to Punter's Postmortem. We've got the team together after a big weekend of racing where we saw some wonderful theatrics and a great advertisement for racing, if you ask me, with Gary Moore and Takedown winning Group 1. What a tremendous victory it was, and quite a thrilling race as well. And then overnight, the Japan Cup. What a performance this was. And our standing stayer. Will he ever come down under? Who knows? Probably too good. But Kittison Black, romped home. Ryan Moore actually rode in the race and finished in fifth position in Fame Game, which is known to many of our Aussie listeners, finished about midfield. We had Chris Waller continuing his domination at Rosehill Gardens with another four winners. Michelle Payne continues to be in the media spotlight. Mick Price has produced another terrific-looking two-year-old heading to the Magic Millions, and Darren Weir just keeps on training winners as he does. So not much has really changed as we talk about racing on this Monday morning. Your thoughts are going to be open. 1353 53, the good runs, the bad runs, the horses to sack, the horses to follow, the jockeys to jump on board with. It's all open for discussion on 1353 53, Punter's Postmortem. Big welcome, Ronnie Duffacy. He's gone across the Dutch. He's gone across to New Zealand. And we've got Paul Joyce coming out of his barrier. G'day, Joycey.
Yeah, g'day, TK. Thanks for having me this morning. And look, we're Rose Hill on Saturday. You know, it was a genuine good track. They ran some fast times. Leaders probably dominated on the day, but I've gone through analysing the races, and I think on every occasion, they were the best horses in the race. So I wouldn't be putting down a losing day to track bias at Rose Hill, that's for sure.
No, I don't think the track bias, but we saw some surprise results at some pretty big odds, didn't we, in a couple of the races?
Yeah, we did. We saw the Rumour File win race 3 at $61 out from 26 opening. I tell you, TK, you know, when you look at them on a Friday night and you think, oh, we'd have something small on this.
Yep.
And I went back through its form, couldn't find a reason to back it, let it go. And, of course, it hit the line at $61. So, kicking myself there. But honestly, I've still gone back through and still couldn't have found a reason to back it.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. There's no doubt about that. $26 out to $61. I touched on it in some of the headlines. Mick Price, KO. Looks to be pretty good. Hello, Dean Lester.
Hello, TK. Morning to you.
Yeah, I thought it might have been Chow, but KO.
Chow, you're right.
Oh, Chow.
Chow.
Okay.
We've had a few different pronunciations, right. But we asked Mick yesterday, and he said definitely Chow.
Okay, because I went with Chow, and I just double-checked. They said, no, it's KO.
No. We were actually calling it Sow, because that's what we were told to, but okay. Mick clarified it yesterday.
Anyway, the main thing is
he's
good and he can gallop.
Yeah, he can. He's a nice horse. Speaking with Mick yesterday, I just wonder if he will probably bypass the Magic Millions and maybe just put him on a real blue diamond path.
Right.
Because he's had the two runs pretty quickly, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see which way he goes. But he's a strong horse. The 1,000 meters is absolute bare minimum for him. He looks as though, you know, the further the better, and whether the hustle bustle of the Magic Millions would be ideal for him. But I think he'll probably end on a blue diamond path.
That's what you want. You want the bare minimum to be the 1,000, and you want your
Absolutely.
Horse to be looking for at least the 1,200, don't you?
As long as he can stay out of trouble, and he just likes that little bit of early speed. But it was a good win on Saturday. He's a very nice horse, and Mick's got a great affinity with winning the Blue Diamond in recent years, and I think he wouldn't mind another one.
I don't. He's got such a strong stable of juveniles, hasn't he? I mean, I know his back catalogue's pretty impressive, but this year he has a strong hand.
Well, he's got the three-year-olds, really to the fore with Flying Hardy and Extreme Choice.
Yep.
And as you said, he's only stepped out Chow Chow and I think one or two others, and they've gone well. And I think there's a heap to work through there. I think he's got about 50 entries for the Blue Diamond. So.
Jeez, which is great. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au joins us. G'day, Glenn.
Morning, TK. Morning, Pa. Morning, Dino. Speaking of Magic Millions, TK, we'll know a lot more at the end of this week because Friday is the next pay update.
Right.
For the Magic Millions. They've already had first nominations. Well, they were free. I think they were taken in September. And then we have the first chops in the pan on Friday. So we tend to drift a few out from there when they have to start paying up for the nominations or the first acceptance stage there. So this time next week, the boys will be busily throwing up the markets on the 2 and 3 year old Magic Millions.
Because, Glenn, it's easy to think, oh, it's November and, you know, the end of the year doesn't seem that close. And all of a sudden, yeah, we're just out from Christmas, then it's Magic Millions time.
Yeah, well, I think today, TK, we're less than a month or 4 weeks away from Christmas. Christmas would have been a month ago yesterday. And then you've only got, you know, a couple of weeks after that, and then you're up on the Gold Coast for Magic Millions. And then we've got Blue Diamond, of course. We'll have the Slipper horses, you know. So the most asked question in the next sort of 6 weeks. So are you going on to the Magic Millions with this two-year-old? Are you saving for the Blue Diamond? Do you think it'll be there in the Slipper?
Yeah, well, is he a Slipper horse? And this is the question maybe for our listeners this morning. Have we seen the Golden Slipper winner yet? 13.53.53. Recent times, Dino says that we see the Slipper winner before Christmas, who normally comes out, wins, or is super impressive, gets put away and then brought back after Santa arrives.
Well, it's been that way in recent years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's there's always trends that change, but it's been the modern trend anyway in the last 4 or 5 years.
And do you think we've seen the Slipper winner yet, Dino?
I don't know if we have. I think we spoke last week of whether, you know, when first two-year-old race of the year is often significant and Khan looked pretty good that day, and whether that's the form line going forward. I don't think we've seen a really A-grade two-year-old in Melbourne.
Right.
I think Medina is a talent, but she's on her way to the Magic Millions, so that's her next challenge. But I think the Sydney two-year-olds, if the Slipper winner's been produced, it's probably been produced in Sydney.
All right. What about you, Paul Joyce? Do you think we've seen the Slipper winner yet? We haven't seen something to really knock your socks off yet.
No, we haven't, TK. But you'd have to say recent history would say let's go to the Breeders' Plate at Randwick on the first two-year-old race of the year, and this year Khan was dominant. So, you know, if you were asking me who I was betting this far out, which I don't usually do, I'll have to say Khan's the one. But, you know, there's a lot of water to flow under the bridge between now and then. And, you know, of course, last year, Capitalist, even though he was red-hot favourite this far out from the Slipper, by the time the Slipper came around, you got about... Was he
$8 or $9, $10, something like that.
So things change very quickly with two-year-old racing. That's pretty much all I'll say there.
That's right. And the Snowdens kept saying there was nothing wrong, and everybody else kept saying there was something amiss, and horse just came out and blew him away. Glenn, what about you? Personal opinion there. Do you think we've seen the Slipper Slipper winner yet?
Well,
the winner.
I don't think we've seen enough two-year-olds as in total.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely do we see, a two-year-old have more than one run at this time of year, unless, you know, they've run, as we had Saturday's winner, came from Kembla to town. But, you know, the reason the trend has been there the last few years is with the early two-year-old races, they get the chance to have them up and running, give them the run, win, get the prize money, and then qualify for the races, and then they can go back to the paddock. And be put away. Their task is made so much easier. They don't have to be rushed along in the qualifying races in the lead-up to the Slipper because they've already got the money in the bank.
Speaking of juveniles, Andrew Bensley has texted Luke Nolan has ridden Black Caviar's first progeny this morning at Euroa for the Hayes Dabernig Stable. Et cetera, isn't it?
Yep.
Going to be imagine the hullabaloo, Dino.
Yeah,
when Etcetera's going to step out and the pressure on everybody who's going to...
Conflicting reports when she's even having her first trial. It was, I think it'll be this Friday in a jump out at Flemington. But, the Lindsay Park team are playing it down. I don't know if they want that many camera crews for a first jump out, but it's inevitable, isn't it?
It is.
And a new set of colours, Dino. The black caviar colours have been retired.
Well, they have, yep.
Yeah.
So these are a green.
A green with a black spot. Mm. Yeah.
I saw a horse on the weekend. I thought, oh, that's a shame. They've called it Cigar, you know, thinking, you know, those champion names shouldn't really be used, but it wasn't spelt as Cigar. It was spelt differently but pronounced still as Seagar.
Not after Bob Seagar.
maybe.
From the Silver Bullet Band.
Maybe. 13:53:53. Paul, we talk about stayers. We talk about the Europeans, but also the Japanese. Kitasan Black romped home in winning the Japan Cup. It was just a massive staying test and went to the front, dominated, and went a bit further ahead.
Yeah, exactly, TK. You've summed that one up perfectly. The big field as they get over there and a massively long home straight. I love the fact that they get about nearly a 600-metre run in, and you think you're home and hose, the next thing the camera angle changes and you've got 250 metres to go. But if you're on the leader there, Kitasan Black, it was never any cause for concern. He was travelling sweetly the whole way and really let down strongly down that long home straight. And a few ran on late, but they never really threatened. So if you're on the favourite, it was smooth sailing all the way. Look, I haven't done any form of those finishing behind yet, but obviously we will, because a couple of those may end up coming out for our spring or even for our championships in autumn. So it's always a race that we'll go back to throughout the next 6 to 12 months and try and find something that may be coming out of Japan to Australia. But for Australian punters in particular, you know, apart from the winner and maybe the second horse, you know, there's not too much interest in the race.
Yeah, Fame Game midfield.
Yeah, Fame Game. He wasn't in the market, was he, this time? No. He's sort of been out of form and struggling over since Melbourne. And you know, the new kids on the block over there, he's obviously this one, Kitasan Black. But, I mean, he looks like an absolute superstar. So good luck to the Japanese with him. I don't think they'll be letting him leave the shorts.
No, we talk about, and we're lucky, we're so lucky to have the Emirates Melbourne Cup at, what, $6.5 million, yep. And that Japan Cup worth about $7 million Aussie dollars, Dino. So it's a, yeah, they can race for such big money in their own backyard. That's the thing. They don't really have to travel their horses like the European horses.
Well, it was such an invitation race 20, 25 years ago. But,
famous, wasn't it?
Their stocks are so strong now. I mean, they might. I don't think they invite as many as well, but it's so far off our radar compared to it was the race that you went to. Yeah, you know, I think the day that Saintly got sick and didn't take his place in the Japan Cup, the Australian interest in the Japan Cup dried up a little bit, and then their stocks have got stronger with the locals.
Yeah, Better Loosen Up, Victorious,
Horlicks,
Naturalism race with great distinction
in
the Japan Cup. But you're right, they've got better. And I remember when they went 1-2 in the Melbourne Cup, they said, you know, like, this is all they...
Yeah.
Guesstimate, isn't it? But they said they were the 24th and 25th best stayers in Japan.
Yeah.
But that's a great topic of debate.
Yeah.
You just never know. But you'd think if Kitasan Black came down...
Oh, he looks a superstar, doesn't he?
He looks to be an absolute superstar. And Glenn, as far as interest for the championships, which is going to be enormous, you'd love to have some Japanese raiders here because... It's a crowded schedule at that time of year, even for the Europeans, because Dubai's on as well.
Yeah, I think you'll find Maidan, the big night there, is around about the 25th of March.
Too close,
Or close around that date there. I was looking the other night. I was thinking of going, actually, and then realised when it was.
Big day on the pump?
Yeah, well, obviously. Mate, I just a battle.
Won't be a good big day over there, you can't bet.
Mm. Well, you've already won the money, TK.
Yeah, exactly. You're in front. Right. Walk-on thing, I'm in front.
Yeah, I'm well in front here. I've got here to start with. We got a couple of Japanese horses here last year. One broke down, of course, and then we had Toss and Stardom. He bled. So, you know, we've tended over the years to get, you know, one or two, but, we'll see. It's just however much, you know, they offer them to be here and what they can offer them. They've got the facilities now at Canterbury. They've got a whole racetrack to themselves in the quarantine centre, so that's no minus.
Never
to
been
be
better. Never been better. So that's the thing. We'll chat about this performance, and it was a terrific one by Takedown, and then we'll have some news and traffic, and then we'll get it. We'll run through all the Sydney races and Dino's thoughts in Moonee Valley as well. But firstly, Joycey, such a great performance, and as far as racing is concerned and that window to the public, great to see the celebrations of Gary Moore with Takedown winning a really willing contest, wasn't it, on the weekend, the Group 1. the new season, the first Group 1 of the new season?
Yeah, the Winterbottom Stakes. Look, it was a fantastic race. It was a great build-up because we had some really top-class eastern staters heading over there and some lightly raced up-and-coming locals. So it was always going to be interesting at weight for age. Most people assumed that the class would prevail, and in the end it probably did with takedown winning. But the speed never came, and the locals were supposed to inject that speed, and they just didn't do it. Shidell found the front, takedown sat outside there, and they put the brakes on, and all the locals were out the back getting checked and finding trouble. I tell you what, if you missed the run of State Solicitor, make sure you jot it down in your black book. It was an enormous run for a horse that was stepping out of basically a benchmark 72 into a Group 1 weight for age. And look, he was a good thing beaten. So great to take down one. He's off to Hong Kong now. At least we hope he goes over to Hong Kong for the sprint. Gary Moore really made the race his own after the race, the way he carries on. It's just so enthusiastic and exciting for the people watching the sport. And Timmy Clark, well, you won't get a jockey in better form. He's absolutely on fire. I think he's ridden, was it five of his last 10 rides have been winners or something like that. He's just on fire. So great race, great lead up. Terra Vista was probably the big flop. He was gone 200 from home. So not sure what the future holds with him. He's now hasn't won a race from his past seven starts. So long time between drinks for the Terra Vista fans.
Not the horse we all wanted him to keep on growing into being, unfortunately, Terra Vista, but provided some great moments at the track when he was at peak form, but just hasn't come back. Dino, I had to giggle a little bit watching that race and thinking Malaguera was getting the beautiful sit just behind them, and you get to the corner and you think, oh, well, he'll push his way out, but he's got to push a he's got to push a tank out of the way. Yeah. And that was takedown. He was sitting in. You must be thinking, oh, I can't beat it. It's like the big bully at school, you know, and the little kid at school trying to take on the big bully. I sort of giggled to myself a little bit.
Yeah, he was always going to hold his line takedown, wasn't he? And look, Malaguera was, I think he had enough room to go on if he could have.
Oh, sure,
but,
I'm not, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, he wasn't going to slingshot off the bend and come out, that's for sure. I wasn't hoping State Solicitor would go straight to a Group 1. I've just been backing him through his grades and taking the easy money, and gee, he should have won. He's a very, very exciting horse. He runs monster figures over there, and he showed that on Saturday in a race that wasn't run to suit. He all but won. So, he's been beaten a length and ducked and weaved through the field.
Yeah, we only had a length and a half separating the top
seven
in the finish there. So, I'll tell you what, they can provide some very, very good racing over there. I know we say that we only get the chance for them to, you know, take centre stage at this time of year, but over the years, their feature races have been very, very competitive races, and they've been exciting races to watch.
Their race is very strong. They filter, you know, it's not a huge population as such. If they're not good enough, they get pushed north to Broome or south, and their restricted grade racing right through is very strong, and they, you know, you only got to see that when they handpick the, you know, promising horses, then bring them over here, they usually race pretty well.
And they had a race on Saturday which was akin to our country championship. Yes. I think they called it the Road to Ascot.
That's it.
The regional championship there, which provided a dead heat.
Yes.
And then, three quarters of a length between the first six there, in a, you know, 1,200 metre race, and just looking there, two lengths between the first 11 across the line. And they, you know, they'd come from all points of the compass, really, in Western Australia. So I don't know how long that race has been going, whether it was something that they had before we had the country championships here, but it's an idea working on both sides of the country.
He'd won his previous six, hadn't he? State Solicitor.
He'd won six out of seven, and he went from a... They benchmarked their horses from the bottom up. It was a 72 rating minimum, his last win, so probably over here like about an 84.
Right.
He went from an 84 to a Group 1 and all but one. I'm sure that there'd be an Eastern States trainer that would love to get him over here, and I suppose Darren Weir and Lee Friedman have been the most recent training for...
The Peters.
Mm. So, maybe one of them will get a chance to get State Solicitor in the autumn.
What sort of races do you think, Dino, for a horse like... we're talking the elite level now, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't think he's got anywhere near his right distance. Yeah, I know he's by Nakoni, and he's only been sprinting so far, but I'd love to see him 1,400 and maybe even further.
Mm. The furthest he's been is a 1,300 at Belmont.
Yeah.
And he's won on good threes, he's won on soft sevens. So
he sat outside the lead. He's come from last. He's got a great skill set, that horse. He's a very exciting horse.
Yeah, he was one of the unlucky runners from the weekend. We'll take your other unlucky runners, 13:53:53. If you'd like to query the guys, Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au, Dean Lester, and also Paul Joyce filling in for Ronnie Duffersey. Please feel free to call 13:53:53 and SMS, text messages, 0419 767 272.
This is Punter's Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Going to start taking your calls on 13 53 53, and also text messages on 0419 767 272. So if you've got some queries for the boys, if you need a bit of a leg up or a query on a runner, we'd love to hear from you or your thoughts on racing, 13 53 53. Let's get to that open line and say a big good morning to Terry. G'day, Terry.
Yeah, mate. How are you, TK, Dino and them?
Never better.
Mate, these fields in Sydney, they're going backwards.
Size of them?
Is there a way they can do some handicapping system to bring more country horses into the fields? You can't have doubles. You can't take trifectas. Quinellas, it's all Walla 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 and Snowden and O'Shea. You just can't have a bet there, mate.
Terry, it's a good point. I'm sure it's something they're looking at, the size of the fields, but they might be small, but they're high on class. Paul, I'll get Paul to respond to that, Terry, if I can. Joycey, what are your thoughts? I mean, I love seeing a minimum eight.
Yeah,
obviously,
look,
don't worry, the tab loves to see a minimum eight as well.
Yeah, I agree with Terry, TK. Look, we had Friday night at Canterbury, and look, they've done well to promote the night out there. We're getting a decent crowd in with the food markets, but
yep,
the fields just aren't there.
No.
You know, we had four horse fields, I think, for the first two, and there were scratching because connections are accepting on Friday and Saturday and then picking the best race. And we had Kembler on Sunday, we had Hawkesbury on Saturday. There were just so many meetings that they could go to that you can't blame connections because they're trying to put their horse in a race they can get the most prize money back. So the loser is the punter because they're the ones, you know, like Terry said, you're betting on Friday night in a four-horse field for the first two races. There's no interest there. So I think it's more programming myself. I think we've got enough horses and the prize money's terrific, but we just can't have that many meetings clustered together in such a short period of time.
Terry, it's a good question. We do thank you. Pardon me, there's no doubt. We've got the population of the horses, but what the trainers keep telling me with the feedback, Glenn, is the fact is they've got to place their horses where they think they can win, and it's very, very hard competing against the high-class gallopers that the big stables are producing in the daily races in Sydney.
Well,
do you have a theory on it?
Well, the bigger stables, TK, I think if they've reduced their numbers that they're sending to the provincials, because they're quite happy to just run their horses in the metropolitan races for the more prize money.
Well, that's got a knock-on effect as well, isn't it? Because we were even like a place at Muswellbrook, and like trainers are sending their horses everywhere to try and win a race.
Well, we'll have you talk about different areas, right? So today we've got racing at Taree. On Thursday, we've got racing at Port Macquarie. Now, in the midst of... I know you go inland, right? But you've got Tamworth on Tuesday. You've got Gosford on Thursday. So, say a Newcastle trainer, for example.
Yeah.
He has the opportunity to go to Taree, Tamworth, Gosford and Port Macquarie either Monday, Tuesday or Thursday. This is without the metropolitan races. And then on Saturday, he's got racing on his home track on the Beaumont track. Mm. So, that's his week. That's just a trainer based at Newcastle which has those options there.
But then the Sydney trainers are sending their horses there as well.
The Sydney trainers would say, well, hang on, I can race at Canterbury on Wednesday, Gosford Thursday, Friday not so because it's Grafton and Mudgee, and Saturday I have the two options, whether I go to Beaumont or I go to Rose Hill, and then come Sunday I can go to Hawkesbury or Nowra, which for Sydney trainers, say a Warwick Farm trainer, they're nearly the same... you know, distance apart, probably Hawkesbury's, you know, half an hour shorter to get to Hawkesbury than get to Nowra. So they're actually spoilt by choice for where they are. And that's just one training set in Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a trainer in Canberra, for example, you look at your week here. You've only got the option to go to Wagga, which is a fair drive from Canberra.
Sure.
You have a Cooma non-tab on Saturday, or if you want to drive all the way to Nowra. Now, that's the completely opposite end of the spectrum. They haven't really got anywhere to go this week.
Yeah, well, that's true. Dino, is there something from Victoria we can take note of or maybe learn from? Your small fields are... Travel's not... Well, you go forward. Do you think we can learn anything from the Victorians, Dino?
I don't know, TK, but the one feature I notice every Saturday is that your provincial meetings are incredibly strong.
Yeah, hard to win.
those Kembla, Beaumont, those meetings, they've got a lot of depth to them, and our Saturday meetings are nothing like that.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of horses that in your system that run at those meetings could nearly run at Saturday level, but are getting out of their maidens or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just seems that's the big difference to me, that we've got a huge class difference between Saturday City and Saturday Provincial on the Saturdays, where yours have a lot of depth.
And having a chat with Kieran Maher up there at Muswellbrook on Friday, Glenn, we quizzed him regarding whether Victorian trainers are starting to think, with the prize money so attractive in Sydney or right throughout New South Wales, about targeting those races. And he goes, yeah, absolutely.
Especially if you're in the northern part of Victoria, just to hop the border to go to Wagga or Albury, for example, you've got the chance there. But, I'll ask Paul here, and a lot of trainers, Paul, are preferring to run at these Saturday provincials. Not only they're picking up nowhere near as big a prize money as the city, but they're protecting their benchmark when they do come to the city.
Yeah, look, that's a good point too, Munns. I think the benchmarking system, it needs to be re-looked at and re-examined as far as what you can do there, because you win a city maiden, that's great because you get the little boost in prize money, but if they whack you with a rating of 65, which they tend to do, all of a sudden you can't even run in a benchmark 65 next start. Whereas if you go to the provincials or Goulburn, you win your maiden down there, you're still getting good prize money, but you might get a rating of 55. Well, then you've got 10 points to work with, so you can run in a benchmark 60, then a benchmark 65, and by the time you get to the standard of the horse that's won his city maiden, you might have picked up another two or three races. So I think they've got to start looking at the benchmark system on an individual race basis rather than just using the maiden that they use at the moment.
Wise counsel from our panel of experts there. Let's keep taking calls on the open line 13 53 53 for any query. Hello, Gary.
Hello, boys. Just a couple of quick ones. The Japan Cup, I'd like to be a shareholder in the winner. Take on all stayers and win.
Yeah.
And Tommy Berry's ride in race two in Sydney, I've got two problems with it.
Reflectivity?
Second race in Sydney.
Yep.
Yeah, the two-year-old.
Yep.
Now, what happened there was, 50 out, he's coming from behind, chasing the leader. 50 out, he looked to the right. I'm not quite sure why.
Look to the big screen, maybe. I'm not too sure.
Well, if you're in front, you might do that. Not when you're chasing.
Yeah.
Let's be fair dinkum. At least semi-fair dinkum. And on the line, he grabs hold of it.
Well, the stewards were first to look at it,
yeah.
and they accepted Tommy's explanation, and especially from the head on, he said, if I gave that horse one more, I was going to knock a couple down.
Right.
Right. Well, I agree to disagree. Watched the replay 100 times. Why do you look to the right? He hasn't got a horse around him. Why do you look to the right 50 out when you're chasing the leader? That's one point.
No, he had horses. They weren't that far away on his...
He's got to be a length and a half to two lengths clear of the ones inside him.
They were sort of just off his tail.
We're talking about 50 out. There's no one near him. He's in clear second.
Well, the stewards have looked at it and accepted his explanation on what he did.
Right,
if the stewards didn't want to accept his explanation, there'd be an inquiry.
Hold on. Yep. Yeah, go, Gary.
Glenn, that's all good. The stewards have got a job, and they don't want to be upsetting the industry. I'll accept their opinion. But I'll ask you your opinion as a punter. Why are you looking 50 out to the right and grabbing hold of the horse on the post when you're chasing the leader?
Because he said he was protecting his fellow riders inside him.
Grabbing the horse on the post?
Well, mate, you can still get... you can get suspended for knocking him down past the line.
Glenn, let's be semi-fair, Dickham. He should be riding the horse out on the post. Turn it up, Glenn.
Right, what if he knocks the thing down on his inside three strides past the line? You know he still gets suspended.
Glenn, he's miles away from it. Let's be... You work for the joint. I need to speak to someone else. You're not 30.
Well, oh, mate, sorry. I've never watched a race in my life.
Hold on, Gary. Just on that. That's where you're off the... I mean, you can have a crack at Glenn, particularly over me, but it's a $16 chance. The other thing's a $3.40 chance. The tab would have been cheering the second horse at $16, not the $3.40 chance, if that's what you're getting at.
I'm getting at...
Well, what are you getting at? You, surely, if you're a punter, you know that they want the $16 chance, not the $3.40 one.
We're not worried about anyone. We're worried about an industry being semi-fair dinkum. And if that was a fair dinkum ride, I'm not here. Mm-hmm.
The stewards, in accepting T. Berry's explanation, were of the view that whilst his actions may have prejudiced his chances of winning the race, the corrective measures he undertook were appropriate in the circumstances. Had they not thought he'd done the right thing, he would have got rubbed out.
Yep, Gary, thanks for your thought. Understand their frustration, mate. I didn't back Reflectivity, right? So...
Just watching it now. Definitely they were inside his heels.
They were inside his hind heels, weren't they?
Yeah, he's only barely a length and a half in front. Someone's given him a call. Definitely the one in that was at the Waratah colours.
Yeah, it was the Ipso Factor.
Sort of had a red colour to it. Yeah.
He's definitely given him a call. That's because he was inside his heels.
Yeah, so I think, you know, the stewards were, they were on the case, right, so to speak.
No doubt. No,
you know
doubt.
What I mean?
I backed it. I wish
you... Oh, you... You're not as...
I hadn't even seen those horses now until I watched a replay. I was only watching one horse.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing. And that's just human nature. You're looking at that one horse, what it's doing. You're not worrying about those that are behind it or around it. You're running... Your total focus is on that horse. And as I said, when you have a look at the head-on is going to provide you with a lot more information.
TK, you off to Capital Debt Solutions after Muscle Brook Cup Day on Friday? No, I'm not. But terrific carnival, successful. Love the way they've been able to gazette a public holiday up there the half day. And the Muscle Brook committee, very proactive in trying to make a real go of that carnival. And it was a terrific short stint, Glenn.
I'll actually get you to do a little bit more work next year, TK, rather than blow in the breeze there, interview three people in 15 minutes and then go.
No, I didn't. I stayed around and had half a dozen scouts.
Oh, there was plenty of... You're very social.
I didn't do any more work, but well, you were very good. You do a good job. There's no doubt about that. Hey, boys, can I get some information about a horse having a wind operation before its first start back? Cheers, Kev.
What horse in particular?
Down here, it's a steward's notification. You've got to, as a trainer, you've got to notify the stewards.
Yeah, well, there's been two horses here recently. Prince Famous was one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the other one was a Godolphin runner the previous week that Bretton Abdullah rode.
Prince Famous is the one that comes to my mind.
Yeah, but Merso was the one the previous week. Yeah. And it was notified by the stewards that it was returning after a tie-back operation.
Yeah, maybe they could look at putting that into the official gear changes then, Mun, because they
do list them as a note on Racing New South Wales, as stewards.
Yeah, it's listed as a note, but if you don't check that, like, everyone checks the gear changes, so it wouldn't be hard, I don't think, to add that to the gear changes. And let's face it, it's something that punters need to know if a horse is first up and it's had a tie-back.
Yeah, and Gregorian Chance is going to be listed as a gear change.
That's it.
Yeah.
This is one of the boys has texted in here, and I can't believe it, but it was the rumour file that we chatted about earlier on winning at $61. I still think Hunter Jack won on the inside. I was shocked, Joycey, when they put up. I know the outside, you've got to rely, but he's saying, when do the trainers start painting the noses of their horses? Because they couldn't see a clear gap there. But it was a bit of a shock when the result of that photo went up.
No, it was a shock. I think everyone watching it live would have leant towards Hunter Jack, but it's certainly always going to be very close. Yeah. And then when you saw the freeze frame, you sort of went, oh, I'm not so sure now. It might be the outside. And when you see the freeze frame, it's clearly the outside.
Yes.
As clearly as you get as far as a nose margin goes anyway.
Yeah, and that second by Hunter Jack was Timmy Martin's fifth second in a row that he's put down. Victim de la Moore at Wyong, Fast Arley Canterbury, Pick Me Up Canterbury, C Sharp Canterbury, and then Hunter Jack on Saturday. So in the space of 24 hours, he had 5 seconds.
Oh, jeez.
Mm. Sounds like a TK at the pub having a fun on a Saturday.
That's just a weekly...
TK'd be happy to back 5 seconds.
A weekly occurrence. And Hogmanay was pretty impressive, I thought, out of the meeting at Rosehill Gardens, Paul.
Yeah, very impressive change of tactics there going forward in a race where there wasn't a lot of speed, and those tactic changes were announced. James Innes Jr., he's terrific on these front runners. He gets them out from a wide gate, led, controlled the tempo, and then came home in a time of 34.64. So very hard for others to run past you when you're coming home in those sort of times. In fact, out of that race, there weren't too many I'd even be following. I think the winner was just too good for them.
Well, let's get a bit of the open line before we take a quick break, and we'll say hello to Margaret. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, guys. Oh. What happened to Robbie Brewer out at Hawkesbury? He ran second, but he was paying $90-something dollars for the win, and he protested. How unlucky was I not to win the protest?
Jeez.
Well, it sounds like you were very unlucky there, Margaret. I haven't actually seen the protest. I wasn't up at Hawkesbury on Saturday, so I haven't seen that one, but $91, yeah. Wow, you were close to the mark. Did you back it each way?
No, I didn't. I always only put $1 on the boys, Mitchell Bell and Robbie Brewer, and I just follow them. I don't know the names of the horses or what they've done. Mm. I just back them.
Yeah, well, that horse you backed on Saturday was by the horse by the name of Anne's Gift, trained by Karen Outram out there at Hawkesbury, and was beaten by Black Eyed Pea that Robbie protested. I'll just see if I can get you the steward's report to see if there was anything of any note.
Watching the race, Munns, and Black Eyed Pea took a long time to get past them, but I thought on the line had them covered reasonably comfortably. So maybe it was a bit of an ambitious protest.
And did the other fella interfere with him at all or not? No?
Well, Glenn's going to have a look in the steward's report.
He obviously thought so, otherwise there wouldn't have been a protest.
I don't know where it would have been. It must have been fairly late, I think, but as I said, he seemed to have them covered comfortably.
No, well, the protest in that race was actually third against second, so four more millers. Jess Taylor protested against Robbie Brewer, who ran second on Ian's Gift there. Oh. So it wasn't a protest second against first there. So, it was a protest actually third against second.
Oh,
which was
never
dismissed.
Mind.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't have got me dollars worth then.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Good on you,
Thanks
Margaret.
Thank you very much for your information.
Always right. Good to hear from you, Margaret. 13:53:53.
And here's another thing. Like, I'm accessing these stewards' reports as easy as anything. There's not as if they're hidden information, all of this thing here. We've got information overload at the moment when trying to do the form. And there's the stewards' reports that are already up on the Racing New South Wales site for Saturday's meetings at Hawkesbury and Rose Hill. If you want to go through them, they can be making a punishing reading sometimes if you're on the thing that's run second, and it's a tome to tell you how it got beaten, how far it should have won by, but that's what they're there for.
Look, it can be analysis by paralysis, or paralysis by analysis, I should say, because never before has the punter been better informed.
That's it.
But then you've got to try and work it all out.
Yep.
And nothing beats luck. So I'd say stick
rather
to
be
our,
lucky than right, TK.
Yep, stick to our good judges.
In this business, you can be 100% right and still do your money.
Yep.
Yes, because you're backing your own judgment.
Well, so you can bet around two or three runners. They can all get beat. And you can still run, not find the winner.
God bless Snoopy on the weekend, which was good. Clever ride, I thought, by Tommy Berry as well, to get Snoopy home. And there's been a bit of a punching bag for punters in a little way, Snoopy, but good to see it get a success for Tommy Berry.
Yeah, look, the blinkers went on first time, and that obviously made a big difference for him. Good aggressive ride there, obviously, by Tommy Berry to get across and find the front. And once he got there, once again, as like we said earlier, TK, the four leaders won on the day, but I would say in all four races, it was the best horse. So, once he got to the front and controlled the tempo for a couple of furlongs, you know, it was very hard for horses like Unequivocal and Winetails to run him down because they generally find one or two better those horses anyway.
They always do. Winetails did what Winetails can do and, you know, always look like back me next time, but sometimes it's always the sort of same result for Winetails.
Right.
Know?
I'll put this question to Paul and Dean. We had a situation on Saturday. We had Interstellar.
Yes.
Which was a mare trained by the Hawkses, only had the one run in Australia. She was successful on that occasion. Saturday, she stepped out on the back of a nice trial. She ran a short price favourite, but the first time she'd ever raced on a firm track.
Yeah, good point.
Now, she looked to me to have every chance in the race. Do we say she failed due to the fact she is a wet tracker, or how do we judge her and her effort on Saturday?
Yeah, face value disappointing, Munns. So there's two ways to go here. Either she didn't handle the genuine good track, or she was first up from a spell off only one soft trial, and she may have just been a bit underdone. And according to a couple of people that I
take notice of, but saw Interstellar in the yard, they did think there was a bit of extra condition there. So the jury will have to be out until we see it again, no, I think.
I got it down as a flop of the day. Mm. But I guess that maybe that 190 to 220, the very late call, Paul, forces you to think that, you know, maybe good judges thought she was one run short.
Yeah, and look, and she rode, she was on pace. There was a bit of pressure up front. She was first up and it was 1,200. So all of that together, you know, maybe second up, ridden just behind the speed, she might be able to handle a good track. The way she trolled on the good track, I backed her on Saturday because of the way she trolled on the good track. She trolled terrifically on it. So I'm going to forgive her that one run, but I don't blame anyone that puts the fence right.
We've got a quick couple of calls to get through before we get to the ones to follow. So we'll go and say good morning to Greg. G'day, Greg.
Hello. I'd just like to speak to Glenn, please, about why we can't get a multi, each-way multi.
An each-way multi?
Yeah.
Well, you can have a win multi.
And a place multi.
And you can have a place multi. You can have two separate multis if you want to.
You just got to click on them separately, Greg.
You can back one to win and you can back one to place.
And then one to win.
Just have to do all the different combinations.
Yeah, you can't do it as a single bet. That's like,
like a parlay.
We don't actually...
I was just wondering why we can't do that.
Well, you don't. We don't actually bet each way. We bet win and we bet place. They're two separate markets, so therefore they're two completely separate things.
You got to just tick. You can do it, Greg.
You actually have to increase the number of bets you have to have the same sort of thing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you got to double up, so to speak. You got to have the win bets all together, or you got to, and then the place bets all together.
And you can actually back a horse to win, all up a horse to run a place.
Yeah.
So you can mix it up that way.
Yeah.
So you mightn't think, albeit you want to be on an each way, but I'd rather have more on at the place than the win.
Yeah.
You couldn't do that in the old days. You couldn't go to a book and say, give me 10 by 20.
Yeah. That's interesting. You don't have each way. Yeah, you have win, betting, and place betting.
Yeah, but I just thought if we could have a parlay that way, why couldn't we have a multi?
Yeah, well, parlays are paramutual products and the other's a fixed odds product, and they're, you know, they're two different things.
Yeah.
But all you're doing is really increasing the number of bets you have.
Okay, thanks very much.
No, that's all right.
Yeah. Well, you're not really.
Well, individual bets. Yeah. They're the same bet that takes you longer to have.
Yeah, you're ticking more boxes, really. Yeah.
You're still only outlaying the same amount of money for the same result, but it's just a little bit more
tedious. More difficult than it used to be in the old days. Mm. Here we go. Let's take one final call. Hi, Vic. Good morning, buddy.
G'day, TK. Look, I should have got onto you a couple of weeks back while the Melbourne Carnival was on. It's just something that made me laugh. I switched on the telly, and here's the master of the universe there, Shane Dye.
Mm.
And the other two Melbourne fellas, after the first couple of races, said, track looks okay. No, they're winning from everywhere. Shane's pipes up, you've got to be kidding. If you're any further than three out, you're a dead duck. It's the first time I've heard anyone go against the Melbourne commentators. They never seem to think there's a bias down there. But
he probably thought that the best ground was on the outside of the fence.
It was Oaks Day. He was
as he did in the Caulfield Cup.
Oaks Day, he said you couldn't pass a horse, and he was pretty right.
Yeah,
he was.
But the previous days, the track played beautifully. The
track played really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But first two days spot on. Oaks Day
was the leader's track.
Well,
it was a fence track,
totally to do, I think, with the wind, and it had firmed right up.
Right, yeah, it was good to have such good weather. It was good to have the track playing so well. Yeah. Good on you, Vic.
The harder the tracks become, the more difficult it is for horses to run on.
Yeah. Absolutely, no resistance for the leaders to stop them.
All right, let's go to one to follow if we possibly can. Dino, have you got one for us?
TK, it was well beaten on Saturday, but a horse called Go Public. It just needs 1,400, maybe even a mile now, and I think he's quite a nice horse. He ran in a pretty handy race for three-year-olds. He was in race four on Saturday. Go Public can win pretty soon.
Okay, Go Public. Glenn, have you got one?
Well, Secret Trail, you know, a lot of people wanted to castigate Nick Haywood for what he did in the last, but I thought he didn't do anything, you know, too seriously wrong on it. He missed the kick. What do you want him to do? You know, dig it up and start hunting the brains out of it to be outside the lead. He just let the horse travel. It wasn't good enough in
the finish. Gee, the lynch mob were on him after the race.
Yeah, but, you know, go back and have a look at it and have a look at it, you know, just in what he did in the race. And his ride on, you know, the Tab Highway
was
winner
terrific.
Was absolute genius.
First class.
But I tell you, the person to follow should be just Matty Dunn. When he brings a horse to Sydney, just be on it.
Two winners on the weekend, not just in the Highway either. Yep. So Matty Dunn has certainly got a really good formula going, picking up some great prize money. So Secret Trial for Glenn. And just one final one, Joycey, for you if I can.
Yeah, look, the stewards have got an ongoing inquiry with Secret Trail Ride, but I'm on Munza's side there. And look, in race five, number Azorkan, I thought, was an unlucky runner in the 2400 metre race. Just got absolutely flattened when he was making his run at about the 500. Closed off lately to finish third. So put the Azorkan into your black book.
Especially if it's wet.
Look for it in a 2400 metre race in upcoming weeks. And if we do get rain, even better.
Yeah, we're due to get rain in about 6 months' time, I think. That's what it feels like in Sydney. Dino, always a pleasure. Glenn, thank you so much for your time. And Paul Joyce, a pleasure to have your input on this edition of Punters Postmortem. It's also a pleasure to be giving away a couple of double passes, entry passes for the Hawkesbury races this Sunday, the 4th of December.